And because the great commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you don't know that He loves you unconditionally, it's going to be impossible for you to choose to love Him back because you'll be so intimidated. That first thing is so important because it sets you up for that relationship that He wants you to learn how to love Him back. And then we talked about fellowship, learning how to fellowship with God. So we're going to get outside the center circle. Well, we're going to always refer back to the center circle because it sets the course for your whole life. You live life out of your heart. Proverbs says, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it are the well springs of life. You live life out of your inner being. You live life out of your heart. If you don't like your life, you need to change your heart. If you don't like your relationships, it is a reflection upon your heart. It goes back to you and God. Everything in life goes back to you and God. Well, today we're going to talk about the second circle. And we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about your spouse. And I want to get it started in a light manner because some of this is not going to be very light. So I found some good marriage quotes, and some of these are comical, but at the same time, they kind of have a truth behind them a little bit. One of them is, like good wine, marriage gets better with age once you learn to keep a cork in it. That's good advice for especially guys. Okay, the second one is love is blind, but marriage restores its sight. Have you ever seen somebody in a relationship and they're so in love that they overlook all of the faults and they run through all of the red lights in this relationship and then they get married and all of a sudden love gets its sight back? Man, here's a good one. Men who have pierced ears are prepared better for marriage. They have experienced pain and have bought jewelry. Yeah. I'm glad my wife doesn't like jewelry. Here is a Cher quote. Anybody like Cher? I got you, babe. The trouble with women is that they get all excited about nothing and then marry him. Okay. All right. The difference in men and women hope that men will change after they marry them, but they don't. Men hope that women won't change after marriage, but they do. You didn't laugh so hard at that one. Then here's a good one. This one is by Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham. A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. And that is so true that if you're going to have a successful marriage, then guess what? You're going to have to be able to forgive. If you can't forgive, then guess what? Marriage is going to be very difficult. The reason that we put marriage in the second circle, because it is the most important human relationship that you'll ever have. In fact, the way that you approach marriage will dictate every other relationship that you have in your life. Marriage can be a wonderful thing. And as some of you know, marriage can be a very difficult thing. You may be single here today. You say, well, this message doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. If you've never been married, you need to listen. Okay? Because really I'm not going to teach you anything new. And not everything is about instruction. Sometimes we just need to be reminded about certain things because we have a tendency to forget and put things on the back burner. But if you've never been married, then you need to learn as much about marriage as you can before you experience it. Okay? You really do. If you've had a broken marriage, you need to listen today because if you ever hope to be married again, then guess what? You need to do this one right. There's nothing worse. There's nothing harder than marriage failure after marriage failure after marriage failure, failure, because guess what? It damages your own self-esteem. There's so many issues. And you know, before you go into a marital relationship, you need to have your stuff together. You need to go back to your center circle. You need to get things right there. You need to get attitudes right there. And you need to be able to be the kind of person that you need to be in order to be married and to have a successful marriage. Now, I'm although we're talking about marriage today, we're talking about some very, very basic things that I believe that will help us. Because here's the truth. And this is a quote that we use with your relationship with God. But let me use this about your marriage. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. And that can be true in your marriage also. How many of you know that you have to, when you plant a garden, you have to tend that garden? When you have a marriage, guess what? You have to tend that marriage. You cannot ignore that marriage. If you ignore your spouse, you're asking for trouble. Amen. Okay. I told you, you want to go back to the lighthearted stuff over here? Because this is tough stuff. What we're talking about is the law of capacity. See, you can only receive from God where your relationship with your spouse is concerned, in direct correlation to your capacity to receive. So if you're going to have a better marriage, you're going to have to invest in your marriage. You're going to have to invest in the person that you're married to. I believe that all human relationships flow out of this relationship. It sets the tone for the home. It sets the tone for the development of the children. It's very difficult for children to be raised in single-parent homes. You know why? Because each parent has a role to play in the development of that child. And when one of the parents is either physically absent or mentally absent, it's very, very difficult for that child to get the things that they need. If you wanted to destroy a nation, the best way to destroy that nation is to destroy the marriages. Because when you destroy marriage, you rip families apart. I know. I've pastored this church for almost 30 years now. 29, coming up this month. But guess what? I have seen a lot of families ripped apart. And the children pay the price. The children pay the price. I have seen so many marriages bust up. I have said, this last year, we saw a people that I know and people who are maybe involved in this church or people that I know. I cannot tell you the marriages that I saw that just busted up. And it hurts everybody. It hurts the ones that are breaking up. It hurts the children. Not only does it hurt the children, guess what it does? It rips extended families apart. All of a sudden, in-laws who shared grandchildren are at odds at one another. They have to take sides in situations, and there's nothing good about it. See, the Bible says that God hates divorce. You say, are you condemning me? No, I'm just telling you, God hates divorce. We need to be for marriage, and we need to be for families, and we need to do things to protect those relationships. See, in your marriage, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. And if you expect to have a growing marriage, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to increase the capacity of your heart by sowing some things into you, some resources and other things that invest in your marriage that causes it to grow. Now, does anybody have a perfect marriage? No, because you got two people in that situation that think totally different, and they're imperfect, and sometimes we just have a tendency to get busy, we get selfish, it's about me, and we get caught up into this, and the first thing you know, you've got a problem, and you ignore the problem, or you run from the problem, or something like that. But we really need to work on our marriages. The year was 1977. The singer's name was Don Francisco. Does anybody remember Don Francisco? Oh yeah, some of you oldies. Don Francisco. And he wrote a song, and I want to read the lyrics to it, and it's called The Steeple Song. Has anybody ever heard The Steeple Song? And it really has to do with about church and relationships and things that we call important and spiritual. But listen to these lyrics. I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor's super-powered and your programs are always new. What we need is love and truth, and men are going to come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible, if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? And what about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you said you love me in every song we've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Do you love your wife? With all you got inside you, are you laying down your life? And what about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone? Great song. Great, great song. You know, a lot of times we get so busy about life and spiritual matters that we really forget about the things that really matter, and that is the people and the relationships in our life. And you'll never have a relationship that's any greater than your spouse. Turn and look at your spouse. That's the greatest person in your life. If that's not the most important person in your life, then guess what? You need to go back to your core, because you got core problems. I've used the term compartmentalizing. See, the problem with Christians is that we have a tendency to compartmentalize our lives. And we do this with our marriage sometimes. Let's say it this way. Why is it that we are the cruelest to the people that we say we love the most? You're not laughing now. Why is it that we're the rudest and the crankiest and the most unchristlike with the people that we say we love the most? Why are we kinder to the stranger on the street than we are to the person that we say that we love the most? Do we have a problem? Yes. It's a core problem. There's some area of our lives that we have compartmentalized, that we have not allowed God to do a work in our hearts. See, you did not marry your spouse so you have somebody to go off on. If you're supposed to be like Christ, guess where it begins? It begins in your marriage first. Say amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Your greatest point of influence is with your spouse and your family. But what if you're a saint at church and a heathen at home? What if you're Christ-like at the church and you're a hellion at home? Wow. Do we have perfect marriages? No, we don't. Is marriage challenging? Yes, it is. Women are hard to live with. Okay. Men are hard to live with. We're from different planets. Where are you from? Where are you from? Was it men from Venus and women from Mars or something like that? Jupiter? Uranus? Pluto? Sometimes they're from hell. But are we justified in being unchristlike with our spouse? How can you come to the church and serve and love and go home and curse your wife and slap your wife and be cruel to your spouse? I'm speaking as a man now. Women, how can you be loving with kids and you go home and you ignore your spouse and you take for granted and you do all of these things? Guess what? We got problems. See, we've got to get back to the sanctity of that relationship, the importance of that relationship. Did you know that your spouse should be more important than your children? Do you always reflect that? Or do you become so consumed with your children that you ignore your spouse? See, I know we're stepping on some toes. I'm probably stepping on mine a little bit. I put my steel-toed shoes on today. I got mine sitting out there looking at me and saying, "Yeah, buddy, practice what you preach." See, this is the most important relationship. This sets the tone of the family. This sets the tone of the church. This sets the tone for every other relationship that you'll have in your life. Listen, if there's trouble in the home, there's trouble in the heart. And if I'm having trouble, I don't need to just say, "Woman, you need to straighten up." I need to go back to my core and I need to see where I'm missing it. See, we're going to read some scripture in a minute that talks about, tells us what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be. Our problem is that we want to read the scripture, especially that one that says, "Wives, submit." Us guys like that scripture. And we like to tell our wives that, but that was not addressed to you, husband. That was addressed to the wife. What we neglect to read is what it says to us. See, we're always reading things and thinking about, well, Ricky, that's good for Ricky Jones. Ricky Jones needs that. So I know so and so that need. Hey, do you need it? That's what I need to be looking at. Do I need this? You say, "Well, I'm not married. This doesn't apply to me." Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Relationships are relationships. Remember we talked about relationship with God and we talked about what's involved in relationship? Number one, readiness to share. Whether that's with you and God, you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your friends, you and your co-workers, or you and the world that you live in, guess what? You and the stranger, it's a readiness to share. It's a relationship. The second thing is a sense of equality. Do we need a sense of equality in marriage? Absolutely. Men, are we superior to our women? The Bible calls them the weaker vessel. We can beat them up. But buddy, they can roll you up in a sheet when you're asleep and take a frying pan to your head too. Women are smart. They got their ways. They're not dummies. They may be physically weak. I know some women that are not physically weaker. But, you know, basically women are physically weaker. But they're not mentally weaker. Okay. So there's a sense of equality. That needs to be the basis of the relationship. And then a unity among the members. We need to learn how to be in agreement with each other. Okay, let's look at some things. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I start with this. Even when I do a wedding, I start with this verse of Scripture. Most people start with verse 22 that says, wives, submit to your own husbands. But I want to start with verse 21. This is instructions to the church, but I believe it's also instructions to the marriage too. Because what we think sometimes that God says to one, He's not saying to the other. Okay? We're going to see that He is. And it starts this way. Submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Let me say that another way. Submit to one another. This has to do with all your relationships. Submit to one another out of your core. Out of your relationship with God, submit to one another. Now, that has to do with every relationship that you have. I don't care what that relationship is, it's all about submission. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. If you have no fear of God, guess what? You won't be submitting to one another. Then he goes on to say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We don't like that one, do we, ladies? We don't like that one. But really, this is instructions to both sides. Because if you look down in verse 25, it says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for it. You know that word love there is not eros, erotic, sexual. It's agape. I'll be good. I'm going to try. It's agape. Unselfish, unconditional love. It's unconditional. Is that not submission? Did Jesus submit Himself to God? Would you say Jesus submitted Himself to God? Did Jesus submit Himself to mankind? Yes. You know why? How He did that? He became a man. He laid aside His attributes of God, His power, His omniscience, His omnipresence, and He became a man, and He interacted with man, and then He became sin for man. Is that not submission? So here we see Jesus submitting Himself to mankind in unconditional love. Do we deserve that love? No. And this is what Paul says, that husbands are to love their wives with unconditional love. If that is not submission, I don't know what it is. And then when it says, wives, submit to your husbands, it's talking about your husband is submitting himself to you. Submit back. See, it's a mutual thing. It's not about, woman, the Bible says submit. Now go cook supper. It's not about chauvinism. And then on later, it talks about women, respect your husbands. Now, and I think there's two things here that we need to look at, and then I'm going to move on, because I think that we have to submit to one another. I think we have to agape one another. And then I think we have to respect one another. But I think that the greatest thing that men struggle with sometimes is giving their lives for their wife. I think we struggle with that. See, we're very good, men, about the erotic part. We're all about that kind of love. But we're not always good about this other kind of love, this unconditional love where we love no matter what. And about demonstrating that love. We struggle with that a little bit. I think we struggle with it more than the women do. I think women have some issues sometimes with respecting their husbands. And what they say is, well, when he earns my respect, then I will respect him. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have to earn agape? Should you have to earn agape? Do we have to earn? Think about your relationship with God. The first thing that we talked about in your core, in your circle, is learning to live loved. Should the same principles that guide God's love for us and us loving God, should that not spill out into this relationship of marriage? Should it not be the same? Should our wives have to earn our love? Should husbands have to earn their respect? No, that's why we have to be so forgiving, because we're... Marriage is messy. Marriage is messy. It's hard. It's difficult. And it takes us working together in unconditional love, in respecting one another, even when we don't deserve it, and submitting to one another. I think that's so important. I'm not teaching you anything you don't know. I'm just maybe reminding you of something that you have let get to the back burner, and you need to bring it back to the front burner and turn up the heat a little bit. Am I doing this right? Okay, thank you. We got psychologists now in the church and Christian counselors and all. Relationships are relationships. Some of them have greater priority. Your greatest priority in relationship is you and God. You ignore God, guess what? It costs you in your other relationships. If you ignore your spouse, guess what? It's going to cost you in your other relationships. It'll cost you in your family. You'll set yourself up for some situations that you will not be happy with. Let me tell you right now. The greatest thing that you can do is invest in your marriage. And this is how I want to end this today, is talking about what can you do to invest in your marriage. See, when you invest in your marriage, you are investing in everything else. You know what the kingdom of God is set up on? What's the very first thing that God set in order? It's the relationship of a man and a woman. And you know what he said to that man and woman? I love what he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Dude, we're all about that. Aren't we? We like that part of it. But guess what? We got to learn to live with each other too. Because there's only so much fruitful and multiplying you can do. Come on, Johnny. Give me an amen. There's only so much multiplying you need to do. You got to learn to live with each other. I don't want any more multiplying. I don't want any more kids. Do you? I mean, do you, Dorian? Do you want to have any? Okay, I didn't think so. But we got to learn how to live with each other. Okay? We got it. You know, when you invest in your marriage, you're investing in every other relationship that you have. But I want to end it today by this, and it'll be a little bit short today, but that's okay. I want to recommend a couple things that you do. Men, there's a book that every man ought to read. Write it down. This is your homework. You got to guard your marriage. You got to guard your attitude towards your wife. You have to guard and set boundaries. And this is not boundaries. You got to set boundaries with the way you relate to other women. Okay? There's too many people falling morally in the body of Christ. I just saw a big deal the other day. Another two big name evangelists that are supposed to be having a fling right now. I don't know if it's true or not. I hope not. But it's just another black eye if it is. We don't need that. We need marriage. And we do need marriage. I said we do need marriage. Love and marriage. Love and marriage. not love and living together, love and marriage. Okay? God ordained marriage, not cohabitation. He ordained marriage. You can cohabitate if you want to, but that's not marriage. Marriage is a commitment. Okay. Here's the name of the book. It's called Hedges, Loving Your Marriage Enough to Protect It. Hedges, Loving Your Marriage Enough to Protect It by Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye. They got together and wrote this book. It is an excellent book, especially, I'm speaking as a man, for a man. If you've ever struggled with pornography, which most men have, if you've ever looked at pornography in any form, if you have a tendency to have a flirtatious way about you, even if you haven't, you need to read this book, because there may be people who flirt with you. And you need to know how to set these hedges. We have to protect our marriages. The greatest way to stop the church is to destroy the homes. We need healthy children. We need healthy children. We got some healthy kids coming up in our church. You know why? Because we've got some healthy marriages. We've also got some situations that we deal with, especially in our youth ministry, where there's a lot of parents that don't come here and kids are coming here on their own. They struggle a little bit more with what we're talking about. They struggle with life, and they struggle with boundaries, and they struggle with all of those things because they do not have the reinforcement at home. The home is important. The home is more important than the church. The home came before the church, and we have to guard the home. When we guard the home, we guard the church. See, what we want is healthy homes making a healthy church, so that we can help people who are not healthy. I want divorced people here. I want people who are going through divorce here. We're not here to beat people up because their marriages have failed. I mean, I deal with people who've been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times. That's not good. But it's not where you've been or what you've done. It's where you are now that counts. We can't do anything about what's in the past, but we can. Let's do something to keep that from happening in the future. It's not about condemning people. It's about loving people. It's about helping people. But listen, we have to take charge of our own spiritual lives, and we have to do things that's going to make us healthier. It don't just happen by osmosis. It don't just happen. I mean, you don't go to a restaurant and sit there. You got to order and eat. You don't get nourished by going to a restaurant and just sitting there not ordering. You got to participate. And you have to take charge of your spiritual life, and you have to do some things. Everybody say, do something. Look at your neighbor and say, do something. Do something now. Get the book. Read it. Then give it to your spouse and let your spouse read the book. Here's the second thing that I'm going to suggest that you do. Sometime, we don't have the date in concrete yet, we're going to do a love and respect conference. Now here's what usually happens when you do this. Okay? I'm just going to tell you up front. People who have healthy marriages, do the marriage enhancement stuff, and people who are struggling shy away from it. Wrong. Everybody needs to learn about love and respect. So we're going to do a love and respect conference. And then we're going to follow it up this fall with a love and respect life group. So we are trying to do some things that will invest some good things in you, where you can work on you. Not you work on your spouse. You work on you. You know what I've discovered? If I'm going to be green and growing, I don't have time to work on Kathy. Mine is a full-time job. I got a lot of things that I need to do and change and go and see and, you know, for the church and for me personally, there's just a lot of growing that I have to do. I don't have time to just work on her spiritual life. I need to work on our marriage. But I have to work on me, and she has to work on her. And I have, this has just been an observation that people who are struggling in their marriages shy away from those conferences. So when we do it and you don't come, we're going to know you're struggling in your marriage. No, I'm kidding. No, don't shy away from those things. Take some steps to do some positive things for your marriage. Even if you're single, it's good for you to come. Okay? So that you can learn some things. You know, most everybody wants a good spouse. When you're looking for a spouse, you want to find a good one, don't you? You know the best way to find a good spouse is to be one. It's to be the kind of, be the person that you want to attract. It's called the law of attraction. You attract to yourself what you are. And if you're a person of integrity, guess what kind of person you're going to attract to yourself? A person of integrity. Guess what? If you're not, guess what you're going to attract? A person who's not. So be what you want to attract. Okay? Except different sex. All right, let's pray. Prayer team, I want you to come. If you're here today and you have any kind of things that you need to pray about, our prayer team is coming. We're going to give you time to come and they'll be glad to pray with you. But I want to pray over our marriages before I leave the stage today and Joe comes to close the service. Father God, help us to open our hearts today to be receptive to what you've been trying to say to us for a long time about our relationships with our spouse. Lord God, we know that we need healing in this church where marriage is concerned. Every one of us need to improve our marriage relationships. And Father God, may we take this today seriously. And maybe we be willing to make some steps and take some steps. Buy the books. Come to the seminar. Open up to our spouse. Help us to be green and growing in these relationships and not ripe and rotting. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come now.